Holy Gospel for this morning from the 15th chapter of St. Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a delight for me to be with you here at St. Mark Lutheran in Lacey. I visited the congregation about a year and a half ago, but not on a Sunday morning. So it's a delight for me to be with you this morning. And I bring you greetings from all 92 congregations in our Southwestern Washington Synod. You're kind of right in the middle of the district, our Synod. Our Synod goes all the way up the Olympic Peninsula to Canada, and it goes all the way down Western Washington to the Columbia River. So from the Columbia to Canada is our synod, made up of 92 congregations. And our ministry is not just the wonderful ministry that each of you are doing in your congregation, but we do some important ministries together. So, for example, Lutheran Community Services Northwest is part of our collective ministry, and Lutheran Community Services has about 5 different offices throughout our synod. Or Pacific Lutheran University, a great educational ministry. It's a Lutheran ministry. It's a ministry of our synod, and in fact, all of the synods in this whole region. And Tacoma Lutheran Retirement Community, or Mary and Martha Center up in Poulsbo. We Lutherans join together to carry out ministries that we couldn't do by ourselves. So greetings from those congregations. I particularly bring you greetings from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Port Angeles. I was there 2 weeks ago, and I told them that I'd be visiting you folks here at St. Mark next, and they said, "Well, please say hello to the folks at St. Mark." So hello from Port Angeles this morning. Next Sunday, I'm going to St. John Lutheran Church in Lakewood. May I greet them for you when I go next Sunday? Okay, yeah, good. People are shaking their hands. Good, I'll do that. As I was thinking about the parables that Jesus told in the gospel lesson for today, and as I was thinking about your dedication of your clean kids' room, and as I was kind of letting those thoughts kind of filter through my mind, about the shepherd, the parable of the shepherd who goes looking for the lost sheep, and the woman who goes looking for that lost precious coin, I couldn't help but remember what happened to me on a family camping trip up to Mount Rainier when I was 7 years old. A few of you might have been up at LB Lutheran Church a year ago, and I preached up there one Sunday. If you did, I'm telling the same story today, but it's such a good story because it fits so well that I'm gonna tell it again. But when I was growing up, my family, I grew up in Seattle, and so at least once or twice a summer, we enjoyed going camping. We would load up the car with our camping stuff. We had a nice little 9 by 9 foot tent with the pole in the center, and all 6 of us would fit in that tent. My parents would face one direction, and us 4 kids would go the other direction. So we'd pack up our stuff and go up to Mount Rainier to camp. And the story I want to tell you, I'm telling it to you because it's a story about grace. It was probably one of the earliest and deepest experiences that I had of what God's love is really like. So that's what I'd like to tell you, the story. The story is a little embarrassing to tell, however, because it's about that morning when we were on our camping trip. I woke up in the tent early one morning when the sun was just starting to come up. It was just getting a little bit light. And I realized that I had wet the bed. Or to be more accurate, I had wet the sleeping bag, which is worse because I woke up, I was laying in this cold, wet sleeping bag with soggy flannel pajamas on. And I was mortified. I was embarrassed. And also, I didn't know what to do because everybody else in the tent was still asleep. And I didn't want to wake them up and tell them about it because I didn't want them to know. So what I decided to do is that I very quietly unzipped my sleeping bag and I crawled through the tent flap to walk to the campground bathroom that was fortunately just a few campsites away. The problem is, though, is that as I was approaching the bathroom, the family that was in the very last campsite before the bathroom that I would have had to walk past, that family was already awake. In fact, they had packed up most of their stuff. They were getting ready to go home. And they had three kids in their family. Remember, they had two girls and a boy. They looked like they were about 9 and 10 and 11 years old. And there was no way I was going to walk by those kids with soggy, wet pajamas. I knew that would be just too humiliating. So I hid behind a tree. It looked like the family was just about done packing up. So I decided that I would hide behind that tree until they drove away and they wouldn't see me and I could go on to the bathroom. So I stood there and I waited and I waited and I waited some more. But the family kept finding more things to do. The dad was kind of attaching the camp car carrier a little bit more tightly, and the kids were picking up the little scraps of paper to clean up their campsite, and the mother was doing a few things inside the car. And so I waited, and I waited some more, until suddenly a blue jay that was hopping around in the branches above me in the tree that I was hiding behind, the blue jay decided that it also needed to go to the bathroom, and it pooped all over my shoulder. Well, that was it. That was all I could handle. I decided it really couldn't get any worse than this. So I just walked out, and I walked past the family, and I walked into the bathroom to try to take care of myself as best as I could. Well, while I was in the bathroom, my dad came and went into the bathroom as well, and he said to me, Rick, where are you? Where were you? We heard, your mom and I heard you go out through the tent flap, but we thought you'd be coming back right away, and you've been gone for such a long time, so I just had to come and find you. Apparently, I had been waiting behind that tree a lot longer than I was realized. They said I was gone for about 10 minutes, and so they just had to come and find out how I was doing. So I told my dad the whole story, and he was very sympathetic, and he took me back to the tent. And when my mom heard the story, she got out for me. She got out a fresh set of flannel pajamas, and it felt so good to put on warm, dry pajamas. And then they had me tuck myself down in their sleeping bag. My sleeping bag, it was too early to get up. My sleeping bag, you know, was still cold and wet, so they knew I couldn't sleep there. So they had a double-wide sleeping bag. When my parents went camping, they always zipped two sleeping bags together. So they had this double-wide sleeping bag. And there was just enough room for me to tuck myself in between them in this sleeping bag. And so I crawled in and I laid there and I began to feel warm again. But my dad sensed that I was still kind of feeling very embarrassed about what had happened. So my dad told me a story about when he was 7 and when he didn't make it to the bathroom in time either. And I thought to myself, he understands. He understands what's going on. And I lay there and I felt the warmth of the sleeping bag, and I felt the warmth of my two parents pressing against me and holding me from each side, and I felt the warmth of those new flannel pajamas. And as I lay there, I knew that I was safe, and I knew how much they loved me, and that they would always love me, and that they would always come to find me if I was ever lost. And I have carried that warmth and that love with me ever since. Well, that's what God's love is like, says Jesus to us this morning. God is just like that. God is the shepherd that goes looking for that lost sheep. God is the woman who goes looking for her precious coin. And that's how God comes to find you, because you are God's precious child. You, no matter what's going on, no matter where you are, you are one of God's dear ones. And so God comes in wherever you find yourself in your life. God comes to find you and to bring you home and to embrace you and to make you warm again and dress you in new clothes and remind you again that you are one of God's dear ones. That's how much God loves you. I would guess that all of us have soggy moments in our life. I would guess all of us have moments, or sometimes days, or maybe even whole stretches of time when we're walking through life feeling kind of soggy and kind of embarrassed and looking for a good tree to hide ourselves behind, or at least some part of our life that just is too shaming to us, wanting to hide that part. That happens to us, I think. Sometimes it's when we've made some bad choices and actually messed ourselves up. Sometimes it's when people dump stuff on us. But something happens that we don't want people to see, and so we try to hide. Maybe it's something going on in our family when there's a conflict in the family, or we're not getting along as we would hope with someone who's important to us, and we don't know what to do about it, but we don't want other people to know about it either. Or maybe it's in our work life or in our school life when things aren't going as well. Maybe we're not accomplishing what we want to. Maybe our life isn't adding up to what we want it to be. Or maybe it's just the process of aging and getting older along the way, and we aren't looking like we want to look anymore, and we aren't healthy like we want to be anymore. I'm not sure what it is. It can be lots of different things. But there are moments when, even if we know in our heads that God loves us, the real difficulty is us loving ourselves, because we're often our own worst critics. And that's just the individual journey that we're on. That's just the personal set of feelings that we're struggling with. When we step back and look at the whole world, when we think of our collective human family and how we're doing as a family, we're not doing well. There are moments when it's just sad and tragic how we humans treat each other, and the violence in the world, and the greed in the world, and the fighting between religious groups and between ethnic groups. We're not doing so well until we probably begin to wonder, what could God possibly be thinking of us? How can God possibly love a group like us? It's in that moment that I hold on to one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, where St. Paul says, "I am certain that nothing can separate us from the love of God." I am certain, he says, that nothing can separate us like the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because God is like that shepherd that goes looking for that lost sheep. God knows when we're out there wandering around and feeling confused and lonely. God is like that woman who goes looking for her precious coin. God is like a parent who will not let their child be out in the world on their own in any kind of danger. God comes looking for us. God comes looking to find us and embrace us and clothe us again in the new clothing of righteousness that we receive in our baptism. God comes to find us, so that we might know that we are safe and that we are loved no matter what. That is what we celebrate each Sunday when we gather here. When we come together as the people of God, when you folks at St. Mark gather together, we're coming together so that we might hear in this place, in this time, God's voice speaking to us. That as we sing the hymns together, and as we hear the music, and as we hear scripture being read, as we come and gather at the table, again and again, through everything that happens, we might hear God saying to us, "You are mine. You are my dear ones. Let's have a meal together. Let's share a meal together so that you might taste my love, so that you might feel my warm embrace around you. Come together so that you might know my love." And as we receive this love, we are also set free to share this love with the people around us. And as we receive this love in such concrete ways, as an embrace, as fresh flannel pajamas, as the love of a person on our left and on our right, when we receive this love, we are set free to go out into the world and share that love with others. You folks at St. Mark are doing such a great job of that. You are in so many wonderful ways really sharing God's love with people. As I hear the stories of the ministry of your congregation, I'm thinking particularly right now the ministry at Mountain View Elementary across the way, that in the lives of children, you have in concrete, tangible ways, you have brought them God's love. You have stood with them. You are like the parents on each side of a frightened child. You are with them and you're caring for them. And now you're doing this great ministry of having turned one of your classrooms into a laundry center where people can come and get fresh clothes. How a child will literally feel clothed in clean, warm clothes that will help them know that they too are loved and they're important. And you're doing that for them. And you've got this great great community garden out here, a great place of growing food, and now Gus, your utility shed, will help you do that even better. But again, it's a tangible way in which you are communicating God's care to the people in your neighborhood. And you're also giving students the chance to go out there and get their fingers in the dirt and work the dirt and grow things to know that they are part. They are part of God's family, which first of all is welcomed and received by God, but then out there in the world, passing on that blessing to others. So I appreciate your ministry here at St. Mark. And then we're also fortunate to be organized together in a synod, in a geographical district, this synod of 92 congregations, because that way we can do some things together that no one congregation could do by itself. And so, for example, some of you know very well the ministry we have at the Washington Correctional Center in Shelton, our Living Stones congregation. We have an actual congregation of Lutheran people who are made up by the inmates at Shelton. Pastor Norm Arnold was in the early service today. Just last night, we celebrated a 10th anniversary. That's a ministry. Those folks, those inmates at Shelton, are literally folks that are in a soggy period in their life. They are dealing with a mess that they've often, most of them have created for themselves. Sometimes others have had stuff put on them. And so they could probably be thinking, what is God thinking of me? Am I still a child of God or not? So the 92 congregations, all of us in the synod, pool our resources so that we called a pastor, Pastor Arnold, and we do a ministry in that place so that they also know that they are dear ones of God. No matter what has happened, they are God's dear ones and God never abandons them. By joining our resources, we're able to do things in our Lutheran ministry that we couldn't do by ourselves. And then we go beyond that. We not only do things as a synod, we are part of the 65 synods throughout the United States and the Caribbean that make up the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. 65 synods, 10,000 congregations, 3.5 million people. We also can pool our faith and our resources to do a ministry in the world that none of us could do by our own. And so for example, the ELCA has sent out 170 missionaries. Right now there are 170 missionaries working in many countries throughout the world, both speaking and preaching about God's love, but helping to open health clinics and food programs and agricultural development programs. We're out there in the world so that in tangible ways people will feel embraced by God and cared for by God. So thank you for your ministry, and bless you in your ministry, and bless all of us as God's people in the Lutheran Church and beyond that in the Christian faith and in all of God's people throughout the world. May God bless us so that we may first of all experience God's arms around us and then become a community where people can come and where all are safe and all are welcomed and all are loved. That's the gift that we celebrate today. In Jesus' name. Amen.